Okay, well, today is the 21st of September. It's just a little bit before 6. It's about 5:57 here. And I have with me tonight Mark as well as Mike Orr. And tonight our topic we're going to be discussing is the assurance of our salvation, or the assurance of our faith. And Mike is going to do the first part of that, and then I've asked Mark to read some scriptures for us. But I think I'm going to just turn it over to Mike. And Mike, we're glad to have you with us tonight, and I think this is going to be a very interesting topic.
Well, thank you, Larry. Yes, I know there are a lot of people who, I think, earlier on in their faith kind of have questions about their assurance. But I think that once you left and received the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's when assurance, I think, starts to, I guess, grow in your experience. I was actually, I'm always fascinated with some of the Charles Haddon Spurgeon sermons. And he did a sermon called Full Assurance. He delivered it April 28, 1861, at the Metropolitan Tabernacle. And it was amazing because based the sermon on one verse, and that was Psalm 35:3, and that is, draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And he extrapolated all that at one verse. And, but of course he made reference to many other verses. And about 20 minutes in, he said a sentence that really struck me. He said, you must be much alone with God, you would have a clear sense of his love. And I think that's one of the
things that gives me assurance is my love for Scripture
and my love to be alone with him in prayer.
Trying to spend time in the Word and in prayer,
I actually came up with a lot of verses, but I think I'm going to stick to a couple of that I came across, and I wanted to share with you 2 Peter chapter 1. I thought the first 12 verses really explained to me a lot of what assurance is to me. And so, 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained the right subject faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he is cursed from his old sin. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling of election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For his own entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think for me, that just gives me, kind of defines a lot of the experience I've had since I've started to believe the Word of God and continue to pursue a life that's fitting and holy. So that's kind of, you know, I was going to read John 10. Actually, I will. I will do that. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 14 through 18. This was actually the verses that I read when I realized I had been saved. That Jesus Christ himself is speaking, and he says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life to the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold of one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. And that scripture just, I realized that I was from another fold, and being of the Gentiles. And I know all glory praise go to him for electing me from before the foundation of the world. And with that, Larry, I think I'll turn it over to you, brother.
Well, thank you. Those are very good passages of scripture that you use. I'm going to have Mark read, Matthew 5:24?
Yeah,
Matthew 5:24, Mark.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me, sin and everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Okay, and also, I want Mark to read Hebrews 10:22, Mark. Hebrews 10:22.
Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith and heart sprinkled with pure conscience. Our body was the pure water.
Okay, so the probably one of the best scriptures that I've found on this. There's so many, by the way, there's probably 15, 16 different scriptures that we could point to regarding this. In the 6th chapter of Hebrews, 6th chapter of Hebrews, I'll go back there and see if I can find it real quickly. He talks about, he says in verse 18 of chapter 6, that by two immutable things, Hebrews 6, verse 18, that by two immutable things, since it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. We hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. And again, Mark read from Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 22. And again, I'll read that again. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." I've met a lot of the old Baptists who said they could never have assurance of their faith. They said the only thing I can have hold of is hope. I only have hope. I can't know that I know that I know that I'm a child of God. I want to look at another passage now. In Colossians 2:2, Mark, you want to look that up. Colossians 2:2. And go back to that real quick. I'll read it, and then I'll have Mark read it as well. Colossians 2:2, "That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all which is of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." Notice here he talks about having full assurance. He doesn't talk about just hope, but he talks about full assurance. I'm not going away. I'm just going to look at some other passages on my computer here. And I want to, Mark, read that one again in Colossians for us.
Colossians 2:2. Their hearts might be comforted, knit together in love and all riches, in full assurance of understanding the knowledge of the mystery of God and the Father and Christ.
Okay. I'm also going to just share with the listeners some other verses, and you're welcome to look them up. I'll read some of them. In John, Mark, I'll just read this. John 5:24. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me, he has eternal life." And then Jude 1:24. "Now to him who's able to keep you from falling in this present you faultless before the throne." And then Romans 8:16, "The Spirit himself," in other words, confirms to our spirit that we're the children of God. And then Hebrews 7:25, "He's able to save them to the uttermost who come to God through him." And we know one of the best scriptures that we can use almost on any topic is Ephesians 2:8, which is, it never gets tired of our hearing. "For by grace you are saved." For by grace you are saved. "Through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so there's so many different passages here that we could allude to. In Romans 10:13, it says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And also we're told in Romans that Romans 8:1, "There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus." First John 5:10-13 says that whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. And Romans 8:16 says that his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So there's so many passages in the Bible that have to do with assurance, with belief, with faith. You know, and I do think that evidence of our assurance is also represented in our actions, you know, and sometimes that will cause a lack in our assurance if we succumb to temptation. And I think that's why we're told, Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then also, Isaiah, the 32nd chapter of Isaiah, the 17th verse says, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And 1 Thessalonians 1:5, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So that's pretty much what I had on the subject, but I think that the more we, I agree with what you said, Mike, that the more that we stay in the Word of God and the more we find ourselves in communion with God in prayer, that really enhances our assurance, increases our assurance. And then when we compare and contrast our lives to what they are today to where they were before we became saved and called and so on, we see such a contrast between the way we used to be and the way we are now. Now, Satan will come, and the Bible says that Satan is the great accuser of the brethren. And Satan will come and try to put doubts in our minds about our faith, and he will badger us and so on. But one of the things we can take rest assurance in, and that is that Christ has told us that all that the Father has given me will come to me, and all that come to me I will in no wise cast out. And so when we find ourselves coming to Christ, we have a great promise that goes along with that, that he's not going to cast us out. Okay. And so also one of my favorite verses in the Bible is, again, the words of Christ, come unto me all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Cast your cares upon me, for he careth for you. For I am meek and lowly. You know, and so sometimes when we have challenges, when we have burdens, when we have trials, there's an old Primitive Baptist song that Rosette Mark and I love to sing. It's called Come Unto Me, you know, and it basically says the same thing. Christ says there, come unto me all ye are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Cast your cares upon me. So that's what I have. I'm going to go over and for our listeners, I don't think we have a subject picked out for next Wednesday night. I want our listeners to know that we're going to have a special broadcast coming up on next Monday. We're not only going to have a conference call with some of the brethren. I think Mike's going to be able to join us, Mark, myself, and then Walt Stickle. Is planning on being on that call, as well as a new brother in Christ we've met, Joe Harper. Joe Harper has quite a testimony, and I haven't really come up with the subject, or Joe hasn't yet, for a recording, but we do plan to record part of that call. Now, some of it was going to be part of a fellowship call, but we are going to talk about a particular subject, and that would be on the 26th on Monday afternoon. So look for that to come out on our broadcast as well. Let's see here. I'm going to go now. So we'll look forward to seeing you all on next Monday and next Wednesday.